Today, as last Sunday, we continue to reflect on those texts from the Gospel of John, which are sometimes a little bit difficult, hard to understand, because they are very metaphorical. They are requiring from us a lot of imagination for the interpretation or for the understanding. Here in this text, in John 6, Jesus had just fed 5,000, at the beginning of the chapter, an astonished miracle that drew large crowd to follow him. People are captivated by his power and the promise of sustenance. The crowd might be confirming that this is the one that will fight for our liberation against the empire, and he will bring then freedom from this political power. However, as the chapter continues, Jesus shifts from providing physical bread to offering something far deeper, himself as a bread of life. He declares, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." First, this passage brings us a very good key to avoid any literal interpretation of the Bible. Eat my body and drink my blood are not meant to take literally. It is a metaphor, or a metaphor. 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 My Portuguese accent. It's a metaphor to use to discuss the key moments in Jesus' ministry. A moment that forces those following him to make a crucial decision, a choice. The words of Jesus here are challenging, even unsettling. It is an invitation to embody the words and teachings, to partake, to share Jesus' flesh and blood implies deep relationship. This embodiment of God's words, eating and drinking, invites us to take part in God's love, offers understanding, and avoid the misuse of the Bible where words are taken out of context and making them rule or recipe. The second teaching that this text is bringing to us today is against all trends of social media. Jesus here is losing followers. Some are just turning their backs as the words are too hard to digest, to understand. Jesus' words are not fitting Instagram or X or whatever it is called, X, Twitter, because they are not short, simple, soft. They are not fun with kitties, not with even flowers. Those words that Jesus is pronouncing here are hard, are stuff to think, to reflect, to take a stand, to stand firm, to be committed. It is in that moment that Jesus is asking also to the 12, you do not want to leave too, don't you? Do you also wish to go away? Are you? Here, the disciples are facing the challenge of choice. Making choices requires informed decision and deep commitment. This passage presents an absolute choice: follow Jesus or turn away. This was not merely a theoretical choice for those first disciples, and it might not be a theoretical choice for us today. In our multicultural world, where we encounter a myriad of beliefs, values, and worldviews, the choice to follow Jesus can be equally challenging. In a world that often values tolerance above all else, making a definitive choice for Christ can feel uncomfortable. We live in a time where it's easy to be spiritual, but soft and shallow in understanding. It is an easy time to have motivational phrases as guidance, but hard to dig deeper, to dwell commitments. Yet Jesus doesn't give us that option. He calls us to make a clear decision. Either we partake in the life he offers or we don't. This choice, is not a decision in a one single moment, like in a aha moment. It's not this. To abide in the decision requires constant exercise of thinking and reformulating our faith confession. It is not enough to leave behind the fishing nets and the boats once. It is a persistent process with doubts and tiredness, ups and downs, not easy answers, not relaxed journey. The journey of the disciples is telling us about their constant return to what is essential as they follow Jesus. It is about perseverance and consistency. This assurance requires that the words are accommodated inside the body, are embodied. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Living in a multicultural society is a gift. We are enriched by cultural differences, by perspectives and traditions. However, it also means that we are constantly facing choices about what we believe and how we live. How do we stay faithful in Christ while respecting the diverse world around us? What are the words that are giving us strength and confidence? What are the words helping us to build our faith in relation with others, respectfully? Why words are so important? Because words carry meanings. They give significance to our thoughts. They are becoming flesh and material, shaping how we are relating to each other. Words are the means by which we express ourselves, and they tell what is inside us. As we said, we prayed in the liturgy, words are all around us, flashing, singing, announcing, yelling. But what are these words that are spirit and life giving to us? How does the Bible verses that we carry in our hearts, when we said that those at the beginning, how those Bible verses are maintaining, sustaining, and moving us? What are the words that are building and transforming? And what are these words that are diminishing and breaking us down? And here, because the sermon is a little bit long today, I will tell you a story. A story that comes from the dear Isabel Allende's books called The Story of Eva Luna. And I will not tell the whole story because it's a long story. It would mean that 3 sermons I could do with this story. Eva Luna tells the story of Belisa Crepusculario. I know, it's a very difficult word. Belisa Crepusculario. She has this name, not because she had been baptized with that name. Neither her mother gave that name to her, because she was born into a family so poor that they did not even have names to give to their children. So she herself had to search, and she herself found a poetic name, Beauty Belisa crepusculario, twilight, twilight, twilight. Have you understood what I said? Crepusculario. If not, you can say this word. Belisa Crepusculario discovered words, the power of words and writing and the value by accident. In a village near the coast, the wind blew a page of newspaper at her feet. She picked up the yellow paper and stood a long while looking at it, unable to determine its purpose, until curiosity overcame her shyness. She walked over to a man and asked, "What is this?" "The sports page of a newspaper," answered the man. The answer shocked her, but she did not want to seem rude, so she merely inquired about the significance of those fly tracks scattered around the page, across the page. "Those are words, my child," he said again. That was the day when Belisa Crepusculario discovered the power of words. That words are making their way to the world without a master. And that anyone with a little bit of cleverness could appropriate them and do business with them. So she decided that she could master these fly tracks, learn to read and to write, and overcame the destiny of illiteracy. Then she made her living selling words. She journeyed through the country from the high cold mountains to the burning coasts, stopping at markets where she set up poles covered by a canvas canopy under which she took refuge from the sun and rain to minister her customers. For 5 cents, she delivers verses from memory. For 7, she improved the quality of dreams. For 9, she wrote love letters. For 12, she invented insults for irreconcilable enemies. She also sold stories, not fantasies, but long, true stories. She recited at one telling, never skipping a word. To anyone who paid 50 cents in a trade, she gave the gift of a secret word, a word that could drive away melancholy. Those magic words that she was giving was a unique word. She was whispering into the ears. It was not the same word to everyone. Each person received his or her own word with the assurance that no one else would use it that way in this universe or beyond. The story then continues. I will not tell you the whole, where she was doing a service for a man that wanted to become president. And he needed nice words, good discourse put together, and she worked for him, and she gave him also those two words, the magic words that he carried with him, and she spelled to him. And then it continues. What I want to connect here is with the transformational power of words, while also highlighting that the intricate nature of human communication. Language influences on people's life and social structures. Words can bring life, but also can destroy image and self-esteem. Therefore, careful with what you say, what you pronounce about yourselves and to the others. Words of media are powerful to determine whose lives matters. If that rich billionaires drawing in the Mediterranean, or the millions of refugees and migrants that are receiving no attention, no word of words in the media. We are constructing our stories, our identity, and shaping our lives using this transformational power of words. The ability to think, to process in our minds is one gift we received. Faith and knowledge, the ability to talk and to build with words, are not excluding. To grow in faith implies to grow in knowledge and understanding, exactly to overcome the magic and the simplistic interpretation of theology, of faith, of biblical narratives, to avoid dissemination of fundamentalist interpretation. In the multicultural context where we are today, we must acknowledge that living out a faith requires understanding and commitments, decisions, positioning ourselves, standing firm. We will encounter beliefs that are challenging our own, and that's okay. Jesus never promised that following him would be easy. Following the gospel message promised to be difficult and challenging, but remain grounded in Christ, as Peter responds to Christ, is a powerful testimony to us. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter's declaration should resonate with us today. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. This is not just a statement or of a belief. It's a commitment. It's a decision to follow Jesus, to trust in his words. As we go out this week, let us remember that we are called to make choices every day. In a world of many voices, let us choose to listen to the one who offers eternal life. Let us declare with our lives that there is no other to whom we can go, for Jesus alone has the word of eternal life. Jesus is the rock on which we stand, the energy by which we move, the returning by which we come round right into the love of God. Amen.